that Redeemer Strong has given us his holy word to point us to him, to remind us of our need for him. And we see that in this passage that we study this morning as we continue our work through the Song of Solomon, turning this morning then to chapter 2, and beginning at verse 8, reading to the end of the chapter, which is verse 17. So the Song of Songs, chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. Congregation, hear the word of the Lord as it is read for you this morning. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he comes, leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, "Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree ripens its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my beloved, my beautiful one, and come away. O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the crannies of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. My beloved is mine and I am his. He grazes among the lilies until the day breathes and the shadows flee. Turn, my beloved, be like a gazelle or a young stag on cleft mountains." Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. May his Holy Spirit bless it to our hearts as we consider it together this morning. I draw your attention to our text, which is verse 15. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. Let's ask God's guiding hand as his word is spoken here this morning. Father in heaven, we do pray indeed that may your Spirit open up our eyes and open up this passage to have us see not just the wonders and the beauty of human love, but the even more wondrous, even more beautiful of your divine love for us, your bride. Father, lead us closer to you to have us see our complete dependence upon you and how our only hope is found in our only Savior, Jesus Christ. Grant this blessing to us. Lead us and guide us in the green pastures of your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it is well known that the attitude of our culture today is one of instant gratification. Anyone, for example, my age or older, can remember when you had to warm up your television sets. After you turned them on, it would take 2 or 3 minutes for the bulbs and behind there to warm up so that you could finally then begin watching a television program that you wanted to watch. Technology solved that a minor annoyance for us with the advent of instant-on TVs. It was only about 15 years ago that my family, had a dial-up internet service. If someone sent us an email that contained a picture, well, it would crash our whole system. Basically, you had to click on that email before you went to bed at night, and then by morning, you could look at the picture. That was dial-up internet, and that was only a few years ago. Well, now you can download an entire movie in virtually more than a blink of an eye. A few people today, again, more examples, save up their money to pay cash for something that they want. Now you just haul out your credit card and go home that night with that thing you can't live without. And we microwave our meals because who wants to wait to warm up our oven? You see, we don't want to wait for anything anymore today. But, beloved, Our passage this morning teaches us just the opposite. Contrary to the world's insistence all around us on instant gratification, the Song of Songs in this passage sets before us the blessing of delayed gratification. Delayed. Here we learn the truth that some things are worth waiting for, and how sweet the reward will be when we control our desires and tell ourselves to wait. This leads us to the first point of the message this morning, a love worth waiting for. Look at verse 8 with me. Verse 8, the voice of my beloved, behold, he comes leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Stop there, congregation. This gazelle or deer imagery that both begins and ends this section, notice, in verse 9 here we read of it, and then in verse 17 again, that ties this passage with the part we studied last Sunday, which told us, you remember, that of the same aspect of this young stag. And so this is a continuation of the woman's dreaming about her man. Realize this. Their relationship, in other words, is still not yet formalized. They are not yet married. They're still in this courtship or dating phase. And this is important to keep in mind because that helps us properly understand what's being asked for in verse 15, our text, which we'll get to in just a moment. But notice how strong and masculine this man is in the eyes of his girl. Ian Duguid writes in his commentary, and I'm quoting here, we can almost pick out the large red S that is emblazoned upon the chest of her Superman as he leaps like a gazelle or a young stag. She sees him as faster than a speeding bullet, stronger than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings or at least high mountain peaks in a single bound. End of quote. You see, nothing's going to stand in his way in his eagerness to get to his girl. Nothing except the commitment that he has made to the Lord. For look at where this Superman stops. Keep reading there in verse 9. Behold, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, looking through the lattice. Beloved, here is the utmost in self-control. For notice that this Superman, in order to get to his girl, does not break down that wall or jump through the window, does he? And he stops short of actually going in and holding her in his arms. And why? It's because there's a line of propriety that he's not willing to cross. This couple has decided they will wait. Now, admittedly, beloved, this is a hard and difficult line to keep. Many couples before this one and after this one have failed in keeping that line. But this man and this woman have made a commitment to themselves and to the Lord. Now, I might add that failing to keep this line of propriety is understandable, because of how strong and natural those passions and desires are. But remember how we spoke last week, that is how God designed those passions to be. And I want to again remind you that these desires are good and godly if and when they are pursued in the proper time and place of marriage. After the man and the woman have committed themselves to one another for life before the face of God. So to the couples who are dating here, let me encourage you to hold the line. Make the same commitment, because the blessing is worth the wait. Your coming together will be all the more sweet than when it happens. So glorify God and honor one another by committing yourself to not crossing that line of propriety. Well, next comes what are probably the most well-known verses in all of the Song of Solomon. Take notice of them with me. Start at verse 10 there. My beloved speaks and says to me, so this is the man now speaking, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. For behold, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree ripens its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. The man sings this wonderful song while staring at his love through the open window. She's just out of his reach. And so the man bares his soul and sings for her a song so romantic and evocative that all men ever since have been put to shame. I don't think any man here has ever sung so beautifully to his wife. I know I have not. And not long ago, women used to count stitch these words and put them on their wall as a fond memory. But what is the what are these verses about? What is the man saying here? Well, other than giving all us other men a complex for not even thinking in such romantic ways, once all of the flowery poetry is stripped away, what he really wants can be easily seen by what he repeats. Did you notice the repetition there? Remember, repetition is very important in Old Testament scriptures and particularly in the wisdom literature. So don't miss how his first words in verse 10 are exactly the same as his last words in verse 13. Do you see it? Look at what he first says in verse 10. Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. And then the very last sentence of verse 13, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. That's what this man wants. He would love nothing more, in other words, than to elope, to not have to wait any longer for her. Come away with me, my love. Come out of your house, cross the wall, join with me on the other side, and come away. Why? Well, beloved, because it's spring. The season of new birth is upon them. The plants and the flowers are blossoming. The birds are calling to one another. The message of nature coming at them from every side is that it's time to be fruitful and multiply. So the man with this is expressing how strong his desires are for this young maiden. And yet he also knows that it is not yet time for those passions to be acted upon. For look at what he says in verse 14. Verse 14, O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the crannies of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. With this, you see, the man is expressing how frustrating it is for him to wait. He can see her lovely face on the other side of the wall, inside her home. He can hear her sweet voice wafting through the window. But for him, he says here, she may as well be a dove hidden in the cleft of the rock, tucked away in the crannies of the cliff. She's tantalizingly close, but she may as well be 1,000 miles away. And this is why the couple makes the request that they do in our text. Verse 15. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. Commentators differ over who exactly is speaking these words. But beloved, it does not really matter which one speaks, for notice how twice in our text plural pronouns are used. Catch the foxes for us. And then at the very last line of verse 15, our vineyards are in blossom. So whether you see it's the man speaking or the woman who's specifically stating this, they both are in agreement as to what they are saying. And what is it that is being said? It's the plea for help from others. We know this because that first verbal phrase, catch the foxes, has a plural subject. In other words, that could just as easily be translated, help us catch the foxes. Help us. So you see, this is a plea from the couple for the assistance of God's covenant community to help them keep and maintain that proper line of decorum that they have promised themselves to as they date and get to know one another better in this relationship. Help us, they're saying, because we do not want to cross that line. We know how weak we are if we're left to our own selves. So help us catch the foxes. We'll talk about that more in just a moment, but look also at verses 16 and 17, because in these closing two verses, the woman assures her man that one day they will be together and able to consummate their good and natural desires, but not now. Notice the until that begins verse 17. Until the day breathes and the shadows flee, turn, my beloved, be like a gazelle or a young stag on cleft mountains. She uses poetic language of her own to let her beloved know that she too cannot wait for that day when they can be permanently together, but that day is not yet here. So turn away, she says to him. Go back to grazing your sheep until the day comes when we can be one. So you see, congregation, the message is clear in this passage, but especially from verse 15, that there are dangers in awakening love too early. You remember that that warning was given to us last week at the very end of verse 7 of this chapter. Look at verse 7 again with me. This is the woman speaking, "I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or the does of the field, that you not stir up or awaken love until it pleases." And you remember last week I said this very same phrase is repeated two more times in the book. The next one, you're just right there on that page. Look at chapter 3 at verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5, virtually the same adjurement that is given to the daughters of Jerusalem. "I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or the does of the field, that you not stir up or awaken love until it pleases." What is she is saying here, you see, is that yes, it is the springtime of the year. And yes, our own vineyards are in full bloom, ready for love. But please help us catch those foxes. Those little foxes that spoil the vineyards. That's the plea from this couple. And this is the second point of the message then this morning. It is clear throughout this Song of Songs that this couple has a developing and deepening relationship with each other. And they're both looking forward to that day when this relationship can be consummated. But that day must yet wait. It is possible to stir up love too soon. They recognize this, recognize the dangers of this, and so they're asking for help. And that message is what is so countercultural today, isn't it? We don't want to wait for anything, do we? Not our televisions, not our internet, not our food, and neither do we see any good reason anymore to wait for sex. You know, the old social mores that told us to wait until marriage started to be pulled down in the 60s with its promotion of free love. Yeah, but pregnancies were still occurring somehow. So abortion on demand was legalized by the Supreme Court in 1973. And even those became too burdensome for us. So a decade ago, the morning after pill was developed, so that a woman could quickly and conveniently kill her developing child right at home over the weekend and go back to work on Monday as if nothing ever happened. You see, we even want our abortions to be fast and easy. Quite naturally, of course, the Christian church spoke in opposition to the sexual looseness. They did so by putting strict rules in place which stressed proper boundaries whenever a couple was together. And those rules and boundaries were helpful and good. But they also, because of our fallen human nature, usually encouraged couples to push against those boundaries, bend the rules, get as close as they could. Rules, you see, are only as effective as what our heart is willing to abide by them. And that gets us into trouble. In our passage this morning, notice, the wall and the lattice in verse 9 represent those boundaries. And they're good, because they help define and explain where that proper line is in our relationships. But understand, it is not the wall or the lattice that keeps this man and the woman apart, is it? Lattice can be easily broken and entered through. A wall can be climbed over or tunneled under. A door can be pushed open. What keeps the man and the woman apart, beloved, is their heart's commitment to love God above all and to honor themselves by waiting until marriage. You see, their desire to please the Lord is greater than their desire to please themselves. And that is what is missing in society all around us. And this is why this couple asks for help to guard against those little foxes that so easily sneak into and spoil the vineyard of our own soul. And what are those little foxes? Well, beloved, realize preserving yourself physically in the sexual realm begins by protecting yourself mentally in the sexual realm. Because you see, sex always begins in your mind. Pornography, romance novels, watching suggestive television shows and movies, all those things plant seeds, sinful seeds, that easily grow into sinful deeds. So what kind of little foxes are you allowing to run rampant in your own mind? Another little fox that ruins our vineyard is self-confidence. This whole teaching of the world around us of independence, thinking that you're stronger spiritually than what you really are. Congregation, realize the devil loves nothing more than a self-reliant Christian, which is exactly why God, in His Word, always emphasizes strength in community. The communion of the saints is where there is help for this. And this is why the couple cries out in our text for that covenant community to help us catch these foxes. Pray for us, they're saying, and our relationship. Hold us accountable with one another before you. Don't leave us alone and left to our own devices. And beloved, this is still good instruction for us today. No one within God's church should be afraid or embarrassed to ask fellow believers in Christ for help in this area, for accountability, for prayer. Admit your weakness. Ask for others to assist you in catching these little foxes. Well, beloved, that takes us to the third point of the message then this morning. Namely, that we're called to stand in awe of God and to be dependent upon the Lord. For this divine dependence on our part is where real biblical wisdom begins. The book of Proverbs, you'll remember, tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. All the other Old Testament wisdom literature then bears the truth of this proverb. And the fear of the Lord when it comes to relationships, realize, congregation, both before you say, I do, and also after, the fear of the Lord entails us remembering and never forgetting that there is a third person involved in every one of our relationships. A divine person who goes on every date with us, listens in on every conversation that we have, reads every one of our texts, goes to work with us, watches every movie with us, searches the internet with us. The Lord God Almighty, you see, is right there next to you 24/7. And what does he see? You see, that's the truth that helps us understand this passage aright. Why this couple asks for what they do. And we should apply it to our own hearts and lives. Because you see, congregation, who here can withstand 24/7 divine scrutiny? Who here is perfect and pure and righteous all day, every day, as long as they live? Not one of us, are we? Ultimately, the little fox that we need to be saved from is ourself. Which is why we too need to cry out, Lord, help us. Help me. This passage then, you see, pushes us into the arms of Christ. It teaches us that our only hope in life and in death, in controlling our passions, catching these pesky little foxes, is to trust in Jesus, to seek above all else a personal relationship with him. And that is why, you see, this passage then applies not just to those who are dating, not just to those who are presently married, or to those who hope to be someday. No, this passage then applies to every single one of us here, of our need to look to Jesus. Every age, young and old, widowed and divorced, presently married or never married, all of us here, because every vineyard, every life represented needs Jesus. We belong to the Lord. What do we confess in song that we just sang, question and answer one of our catechism, that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. So whether you are long-term married or long-term single, whether your vineyard is in full blossom or it's been decades since you last blossomed, and especially if you are struggling with sexual sin in your mind and the foxes are running rampant in your life, all of us must fix our eyes on Jesus. We have been bought with a price. We are not our own. The shed blood of the only begotten Son of God has been given for us. And so God is faithful even when we fail. He has sent his only beloved Son to rescue us from our sin and our shame. In ourselves, we have no beauty. But by grace, through faith, our filthy rags have been removed from us so that we are now robed in the righteousness of Christ. We'll be singing that song shortly. But bear that truth upon your own soul. Find your hope and your confidence in your Savior. Know that we strive to fight off these little foxes when we stand in awe of what Jesus has done for us. And so, single or married, hopeful or hopeless, straight or struggling, we look to Jesus, for he alone is the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for pointing us again to our Savior and our great need for him, for how easily our, again, that old man rises up, how easily the devil knows just exactly where to attack us. So, Father, indeed, may you help us. Help us catch those foxes. Send your Holy Spirit in rich measure so that we can indeed stand strong for you. And the promises that we have made, may we honor them. And may you give us the strength to stand in them. Work upon these, your people. Grant them each your blessing and your guidance. Hold them close to you. In Jesus' name alone we pray all this. Amen. We have the opportunity to give our tithes and our offerings at this time. Our offering this morning goes for Grace Reformed Church in Jersey City, New Jersey, Reverend Sam Perez.